everybody. Welcome to Babs Buzz. I'm so excited to be here. First things first, got to get a little bit of formality going here. I want to thank you guys at Simply Scripts Radio for your kind words about my show and me. Thank you. Very gracious, all of you. Pia, I absolutely adore you. It's just so sweet to hear you talking about the positive things that I try to bring to the table. And also, that very kind comment about my client, Craig Clyde, who is right now in the in an undisclosed location as he does rewrites for in yet another part of the same picture he's been working on for a very long time. Thank you so much for your kind words. Okay, let's get to it. In the don't mistake activity for things happening department, let's talk about the Chinese general. I have a picture called The Chinese General. I've had an option with Canyon Pictures for about a year now. Rob, the producer, is a gem. He's highly British. He's ever so elegant in keeping with the royal wedding. He's just so posh. Anyway, he might be Australian, though. But anyway, they all sound the same. So he has this option, and the script is terrific. And it's about Cohen, the guy who took care of Sun Yat-sen back in the day. He's kind of a really a Wyatt Earp of the time. Very cool guy, very, very sexy character if you could picture him on screen. I don't really know what he looks like, but the script was written with a very taut energy to it. Really, really, really sizzles. Anyway, script is terrific, and every day I read the trades. And so I open up the trades on Wednesday, 2 weeks ago, and I see Rob Reiner. Options, the Chinese general. Not my Chinese general, but another Chinese general. And after I threw up, I really was quite sick. I was physically sick. It was like a gut punch. You guys probably understand that when you see your material right there with a $45 million budget that's not mine, with a cooperative of China, America, and Canada. But here's the challenge. The guy who's been working on the script has been working on it for 20 years, and my hat goes off to him because that's an amazing amount of dedication, not to mention the fact that Rob Reiner, oh my God, I'm such a fan. So I sent them a letter of congratulatory saying, you know, I can't believe I mean this, but I actually am excited for you. And then I sent a letter to my producer saying, hurry, love Barbara. So their people over there were very, very nice to us. They said, listen, you know, the world can handle more than one vampire movie. The world may be able to handle more than one Coen movie. And he's right. 2 weeks later, I get another call. You got to see this trailer, Barbara. And I see literally my client's picture already shot and distributed, ready to go through Columbia. I can't tell you which one that is, though, because there's some negotiating going on. So anyway, the point is that the stuff that I'm working on, as I see it manifest right before my very eyes, was extremely hard to take. It is very difficult for agents to see other writers and other folks beat them to the punch. It just is. It's a reality of our business. However, having said that, I'm going to tell you the words of wisdom that the producer told me when I sent him a letter of gratitude telling him thank you for even, getting back to me. He said, look, like I mentioned earlier, you're picking material that clearly has a market. Be excited about that. That means you're on your game. Pay attention to that. Tickle that bone. That's smart. And obviously, if you can get your picture out before us, yay, you know, whatever. But if you don't, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to be a fan of Rob Reiner, and I'm sure the picture is going to be fantastic. I mean, can you say A Few Good Men? Give me a break. What I'm trying to tell you kids is don't put all of your eggs into one showbiz basket. Have a lot of different scripts in your arsenal. Don't write just horror. Don't bank on that vampire. Don't bank on that zombie. Get outside yourself and think about different things, different bits of subject matter that might entice an audience. You could write about a ghost on a beach for all I care. Just think of something that's got a unique hook to it and stay behind it. And write because you have to write. Don't write because you're waiting for that sale. That's folly. I'm going to be candid with you. It's a waste of your time. Don't do that. Stay out there, market, have a dream, fill your dream with hope. Get out there, connect, talk to people. Agents, really, all we do is we connect folks. There's either magic or there isn't. There's either a pen with a deal or there isn't. Let's get to some practical matters right now. We'll do this first. Writer's Digest. You guys know about Writer's Digest? If not, you should. It's fabulous. It's a great way to get acquainted with different kinds of instruments. If you're having sort of a block with some screenwriting, maybe you can do some short story contests. The short story I'm going to talk about today is Pigs Are Pink. You want to talk about wonderful exposition and dialogue? I highly recommend you read the May-June version of Writer's Digest. It's a great magazine. So I told you about the Chinese general and this other picture, which shall remain nameless. And I mentioned that you can't keep all your eggs in one showbiz basket. We're going to talk a little bit about surprises. Here's some thoughts from my clients to you. Someone put on the thread, I think it was Ian, who said, you know, I'd like to know, you know, about surprises in scripts. So here's some comments I got back. Richard Broadhurst says, Aristotle said it best. Of course, I'm going to paraphrase. Basically, what he said was that the best surprises are the ones that when you stop to think about them later, make perfect sense. An audience will never buy a surprise that just comes out of nowhere and makes no sense. That's exceptional wisdom from Richard. Craig Sabin says, surprise equals misdirection. This is huge because sometimes the word people, when they hear the word surprise, they think of someone jumping out of a cake or a surprise party. I think Craig Sabin really nailed it. He's just a terrific guild writer client of mine. He said, misdirection. That's really, really wonderful advice. Keep that word, pin it to your board. Don't forget I told you that. And you can, you know, send me a nice bottle of champagne when you sell your first picture. Hopefully I'll be the agent. This is from Martin Lancaster from Open Your Mind. He said he actually tries to do something in the vein of misdirection or surprise every 10 pages. This is why I love this guy. This guy, you know, no matter what happens, he's writing entertaining material. I mean, you could read his stuff in a matter of 2 hours and completely see a movie. It's just terrific. The guy is just terrific. He also likes surprises in dialogue. He's very big on two people having two different, completely different conversations at the same time. I think that's huge and awesome. So that's what we talk about in terms of surprises in scripts. That's very helpful to folks like us who really read all day long. I'll give you a couple of instances of surprises now. There is a scene in Queen of the Mist. Queen of the Mist is about a gal who builds, in those days they said Negro, okay? It's because it was the 20s. She hires a Negro carpenter to build her a barrel to go over the falls so she can collect the $10,000 and live to tell the tale. This is one of the best scripts I've ever read. It's by Richard Broadhurst. It's sensational. Why it's not being shot is beyond me, but who knows? I might actually be able to hear about it next week that someone shot it with my luck. So anyway, oh God, I hope that doesn't happen. But anyway, as I read this script, I was completely captivated by the visuals, you know, the mist and the Niagara Falls and the sound of the horse's hooves, her friend's a rider. And as I got to know these characters, I'm going down this road with them, and suddenly Richard makes a left turn, and it was completely plausible. And that was this sort of beautiful interaction. Something happens that forces the two main characters to do something completely out of character, but it's completely in character when you realize what's happened to them. Oh, it was so gorgeous that I actually remember going, I did a gasp out loud. And then I read another script called Immigrant Immortal by Jason Bortz. The story is by Lynn Christensen and Barbara Gallo. And this script that Jason wrote, I mean, oh my gosh, this guy, it's sort of like a Jacob's Ladder, but with a happy ending, but it's very odd. And as you're going through this story with this guy, you really lose your footing as to where reality ends and psychosis begins when you realize it has nothing to do really with psychosis at all. Oh, my gosh. It's the biggest leap of faith I ever took reading a script, and it had one of the best payoffs ever. Another surprise was a small detail. Richard Broadhurst says he loves putting details in his characters. He's so right. He puts red shoes on Max in a script called Bagman. He's a chauffeur, but he wears all black and he has red shoes. Fabulous. One of the things about surprises is they can be visual. And, of course, they carry a lot of weight and import when they are. Among other things that's going on in town, you'll probably hear about this, is pictures, documentaries that are done by people who have actually made it in the business that's becoming very vogue. But the one that I want to talk about mostly today is I want to talk about a movie that so impacted me. It's a documentary called The Kid Stays in the Picture. It's the story of Bob Evans. If you don't see this picture, oh my gosh, shame on you. It is so good. I learned so, first of all, this is a weird coincidence. When Bob Evans was going through his very a high profile romance with Ally McGraw, it kind of caught my attention. I was coming of age. I was paying attention to gossip in Hollywood, and it was starting to get on TV and that kind of thing. So he piqued my interest because he seemed like such this wonderful guy who just, what a catch, you know? And as I got to know his pictures, obviously, well, duh, Love Story, Rosemary's Baby, and Godfather, thank you very much. My boss, Ed, wrote one of the deals for Paramount for Rosemary's Baby rights to go back to one of the guys who instigated the project. Anyway, so I have a bad couple of weeks. Last 2 weeks of April were horrible emotionally because I mean, two of my clients' pictures are gone, and I'm like, getting bummed out, drinking a little more red wine than I usually do. And frankly, I needed to see this because I needed to know that I was on the right track in terms of sniffing out talent. You know, even agents think, well, what do I know? What makes me an expert? You know, what makes me know more than the guy next door what's going to go and what's not going to go? I mean, think about it. You know, what do I know? Well, I know what I like and I know what pops off the page. I mean, to me, as I get better at this over time, and I've gotten quite good in the last couple of years, I'm only going to get better. I can see what pops on the page. So I'm watching this documentary about Bob Evans, and I'm realizing for the first time just how generational being in show business actually is. I sent out an email to a bunch of my clients saying, you know, look at this press release. This picture was first optioned in the year 2000. It is just now 2011 getting set up and greenlit for a 2012 release. That's 12 years. So to my clients, when they say, how come my stuff isn't going, what's going on? I'm going to point them to the kid stays in the picture. You got to watch this, man. You got to get your feet on the ground. I'll give you another example. I get two letters this week. They're completely contrary to each other. One letter says, you know, Barbara, I can't thank you enough for pointing me in the direction of the beat sheet and coverage, because what happened was I actually understand now what I'm talking about on the page, but more importantly, I understand what the business is hearing, what the business is seeing. This was a huge help to me, and while I know my script isn't ready for market, at least now I have a starting point. You contrast that with the letter that I get from one of my clients, who shall remain nameless, who's a really nice guy, but he's incredibly gullible. And he says to me, Barbara, I sent out 100 letters, and I didn't get one bite. I can't believe my picture, after a whole year, isn't optioned. Oh my God. Find me a basket so I can puke. You gotta be kidding me. You sent out 100 letters and you're upset over that? Use your head, man. This business is hermetically sealed. I mean, come on. You know me. You guys listen to my show every month. I hope you better. I don't want to pop your balloon, but I'm going to fill your balloon with data. And the data is, you're trapping lightning. You have to use your head when you're out there. It's not something that is easy. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. I give you the American Idol auditions, for crying out loud. Look at those people who think they can sing. You don't have to hear me tell you that. You're watching it. You know, right? Oh, my God in heaven, it's just too much. So what I'm telling you is, when you see someone like Bob Evans, who starts out as an actor, who's discovered by a pool, by the way, tell you about his life in the business, you begin to understand just exactly how hard what we're doing actually is. I mean, and what they put this guy through. I mean, I was so captured by his voice. He went so far as to imitate some of the people he dealt with, some very heavy accented folks. I mean, it was perfectly charming. And G. Anthony, who sent me this DVD to watch it because he wanted to talk me in off the ledge with what happened with the Chinese general. And I'm really fine with it. I can't wait to see Rob Reiner's picture. I just hope my picture comes out before his. But even if it doesn't, so what? Good on you, Mr. Reiner. Rock and roll, baby. You're my kind of guy. I mean, you know what's supposed to be on the screen to entertain people like me. So, yeah, I'm going to buy popcorn and be excited. But when I see what Bob Evans went through and how, you know, he'd walk into a meeting just ready to be hammered and he'd come out of there going, what just happened? You know, I 2 minutes ago I had a job on the lot. Now I've got notice. I mean, wow. And with the quality that the guy brought, not just to Paramount and who he was working with, but to the world as a whole. the art that he brought, you know, the way he got a take out of the star of Rosemary's Baby, Mia Farrow, who most people think can't act, but when you look at her in that phone booth and you listen to her, she sounds like a very scared pregnant wife. I mean, she was just terrific. You know, there are a couple of scenes in there that now that we look back on them, they're a teeny bit corny, in my opinion. It doesn't take anything away from the film. Of course not. It was that time you could, that's how you did it. But oh my goodness, John Cassavetes, can you say sexy? Dear God in heaven. He nailed that. And you could just see the director, how he captured that sort of sweaty guilt that John Cassavetes just had to have to be the, you know, the husband that looks the other way while his wife's getting boinked. I mean, it was really just the fact that Bob Evans knew enough to wrap all his head around these wonderful novels. He saw the beauty in them. How he managed to get The Godfather made is probably, in my estimation, when I hear Bob Evans, who I can't wait to shake this man's hand. I mean, I simply have to before I die. The fact that The Godfather was even made in many ways is probably very much like a modern day version of Gone with the Wind. Because it's like my friend Arnie, he's a producer, he's really very high level. He says to me, Barbara, if writers had any idea what was involved in making a picture, they would run for the hills. They would run for the hills, run over the hills and far away, you know, a la Zeppelin. They'd be gone. It's really it's a Herculean effort, and it's a collective effort by many people you don't know about, which brings me to I'm going to do something a little different this show. I'm going to ask you if you know. Don't Google it. No Googling. Can't cheat on this one. You have to try and put it on the thread. If you think you know who wrote the line, go ahead, make my day. I bet you don't. I can tell you straight up, I didn't. I had to finally Google it. I didn't know. I also am going to ask you. Now, remember, we are fans of Blake Snyder's Beat Sheet. We are Save the Cat fans. We're part of the Save the Cat fan club. We should probably have our own theme song. But what do Point Break, don't look it up, what do Point Break and Hurt Locker have in common? Oh, and by the way, talk about beating out a career. Check this out. Point Break is water and Hurt Locker is desert. How's that for a 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock moment? All right, so what do they have in common? Don't look it up. Try it on the thread first. You remember, the thread is a great place to be wrong. A lot. It's really a good idea to do. Check it out. You'll let me know who you'll answer those two questions for me on the thread. And by the way, I love interacting with you guys on the thread. So back to The Kid Stays in the Picture. So The Kid Stays in the Picture. So I'm watching this with my husband, and my husband is completely blown away by Bob Evans' candor. So after 2 hours of watching this, we sit there, it's off, we look at each other and we go, oh my God, what have we gotten into by getting into this business? We are absolutely out of our minds. Let's have another drink. The following morning, I actually lost sleep in a good way over this The Kid Stays in the Picture documentary. So I called Ed and I said, I got to see you. And I delivered the DVD to him. And I wrote a letter to G. Anthony, who I'm working with on a project. And I said, please know how completely grateful I am that you sent this to me. I needed to see this. I needed to know. And I'm going to make it a central part of my show this month because writers really need to see this. It will, you know, I'm a big believer in being armed with information. It doesn't mean you have to stop dreaming. Heck no. Don't even think about that. You should be more excited than ever. You've got more data to work with than ever. So you don't go out there looking like a sap. And when I stick my big fat white fanny in the air to get attention for your scripts, you know what we're dealing with, right? And when I finally handed Ed the DVD, I go, look, this is really weird. I'm going to tell you this, but in many ways, I think I should probably stay doing what I'm doing and do story analysis for writers as I do my agent work. Cause I'm a paid editor. I'm an editor for hire. You guys don't know this, but one of the things I do is, and I could probably tell you this now because it's pretty obvious that I edit. I do what I call the 20 pages for $100. People will send me $100 and I will show them how to rewrite. I read the first 20 pages and I edit the first 10 to 12 to show you how to get your script market ready. Now, for my students, I do it for free, and I only do one page. I each give them a one page rewrite for free, which is really, in many ways, very generous of my time. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying it is, because time is my biggest commodity. But I'm telling you this to say this. Jason does it too. He, you know, we'll read 20 pages. You'll send us $100 and we rewrite the first 10. I think Richard Broadhurst does it also, but we do this because it's, first of all, it's a way to create income for the agency. I don't take the commission from my clients who do this, and it's income for me. It has nothing to do with the guild too, which I'm allowed to do because I don't represent these writers. I'm just trying to teach them. I'm being paid for my time. So as I do this for these writers, they're like, oh my gosh, why didn't I think of that? Or that's a terrible tack, Barbara. Or I very rarely hear that, by the way. You know, usually I'll send them something that gets them so exhilarated that they keep writing. They get excited, that they feel like, oh my gosh, look at what she did. I can do that. I didn't even think of that. This is really helpful. And I get these wonder, I actually do. I can't believe I'm saying this. It's just so sweet, though. I get thank you cards in the mail. And I, you know, I do get the occasional, dear Barbara, fade in, fuck you, fade out, that kind of thing. I mean, excuse my French. I don't like to use the F word, but, you know, I got an email that said that. The guy asked me, what do you think? I said, do you really want to know? He said, yeah, I told him. And he may have even mentioned this, dear Barbara. He wrote, you know, F you, fade out. Fade in. No. Dear Barbara, fade in. F you. Fade. It was very insulting. It's a terrible way to start your day. And all I was trying to do was help him. So what I'm telling you is that once you see what writing is and then what market ready looks like, it gets you empowered. So we do that, you know, to get some dance around money and jingle hopping money and coffee swigging money. It's a great way to, I also edit books. I get, you know, it just depends on the book. I usually get, I don't know, anywhere from $3,000 to $4,000 to edit a manuscript that's under 300 pages. It takes me about 8 weeks to do. I really take my time. I do a nice job and I take no credit on any of that stuff. I mean, you could put edited by, but I don't do that mostly because when you edit, you're supposed to vet and I don't vet it. I just do the straight fixes. So that's how I make some of my money. But what I'm telling you is when Bob Evans sits down to read the script, you have to hear his take on, he literally sat down. This is so huge. It connects to this. So follow me. He goes, he's reading Chinatown. He goes, I don't get this. I don't get it. Chinatown of all things. I don't get this. So what I'm telling you is what he is saying to you, if you miss this, I don't know how you could miss it, but you can't miss this. It's all about what's on the page. Because if it's not on the page, it's not. All of the things that he was talking about, everything that gravitated him to novels, everything that put his eyes on the page. Now, he did something that I'm not going to do. He really, in many ways, this is a great guy. You know, he lost little bits of his life because of this business. I'm not going to do that. I'm starting very late in life doing it. I have very, very solid footing on the ground. I'm very rooted in my community. I have a really great husband. I have two extremely annoying dogs that keep me grounded. So, I mean, I'm not going to lose my life to this business. I know better. I just know it. But I want you guys to sort of fix on something. It's very nice to want to write and be excited and want to see something sold and produced. But please, I say this probably every show because it really is, it's the most important part. I mean, don't you get joy out of what you're doing? I pitched a script to Ed Silver, my boss today, by a writer who was already a client, because we have to change an angle on it because it's going now. We're going to chase down two particular characters, a female lead and a male lead, which were not predominant in the script in its first draft. It was mostly a child-driven film. This is the one I told you about, Full Moon Morning. So Ed says, okay, hit me with a rewrite. So I show up to the meeting with Ed, and we meet every week. And I said, hi, Mr. Silver. My name is Babs Battelle, and I'm an agent for Silver Battelle. I pretended like I didn't know him, and I gave him my pitch. And a week later, he came back, and he said to me, okay, I'm going to pass on this script, but this is a hit. It's a movie that has to be shot, and let me tell you what it needs to be market ready. Now, this is my boss talking to me about my book, which was translated by Debbie, because he said to me, oh, you know what? Debbie has the chops to fix this. Don't you worry about that. I'm not worried about that. I just want her to take a different direction because now why? We have to go after a specific market. Whereas at one point the script was really about the little boy and Debbie was passionate about that and she still is. For us to get the attention we need, we've already sold this pitch to a producer. She wants the picture. she's already sold. It's gone. It's an option that's ready to go. We just have to pen the deal. Her kickback to me was, you got to up the arc of the adults in this picture. It's not going to fly. She's right. So here we are thinking this is a great story about a kid. And she's like, no, you're missing the mark here. We need the adults dominating the story, because then it will fly, because then it will lend support to why the kid is the way he is. Oh my God, it was a holy crap moment in a good way. I mean, the light bulb went off. I was completely jazzed, very humbled that people even took the time to tell me, hey, your script isn't ready, but let me tell you what's great about it. So I wrote all these notes down today and I sent them to Debbie. It's the same thing that Bob Evans did. Bob Evans is reading a script and he goes, I don't understand this. I need somebody to translate it. So they get somebody to fix it. And what happens? Hello, Chinatown. Thank you very much. Jack Nicholson. Where will you hear, by the way, this beautiful story of friendship that took place between Bob Evans and Jack Nicholson? I'm telling you, you will not believe it. I'm misspeaking a little bit today. I'm very tired. I had a very long week. I was working the phones all week. I had to every 5 minutes I was taking a call that was on a scale from 1 to 10 in terms of lunacy was hovering between an 8 and 9. When I get calls from people saying, oh, I can't talk to you till next week because Mercury's retrograde, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm even hearing this, but okay, if that's, you know, what floats your boats, go for it. But I do want to talk a little bit about dialogue, because that was the thing that got me to the point where I was sitting down with Ed talking about this one thing and these two characters who had to change. Ed said to me, Barbara, you got to get rid of some of this wooden dialogue. It's just not flying, which was my misfire in my haste to get him a draft. I thought, you know, a certain formality, because it's early European, you know, 20s and 30s that they spoke that way. He said, no, they didn't. They talked just like we did. It was just in German. So I go, oh, okay, well, that's easy. I can fix that, you know, and I don't have to do that. Debbie can do that. In the meantime, you're laughing out loud, Michael. You're funny. You're so cute. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, now what am I going to do? So I hand it to Debbie. She's got notes on it. We're having a phone meeting tomorrow. But here comes the dialogue tip. I want you guys as an exercise to listen to the interchange between, I think his name, is it Jor-El, the father of Superman? Okay, it's the father of Superman and his wife. Superman 1, the one with Christopher Reeve, as Marlon Brando is preparing to send his son to Earth. Now, given there is a distinct disadvantage in that we know this story going in. I'll give you that. You can slap me around later. But I want you to listen to something that happens between the two of them. Someone said to me about my show, I don't even know what you're talking about with subtext. Don't talk about subtext, because that's subtext to me. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Here goes. He says, the gravity of Earth will make him strong. She says he'll be different. He'll have advantages he'll need down there. He'll be unlike them. What you're hearing, I'm getting the chills just thinking about this beautiful interchange. It took all of several seconds. Please go listen to Superman 1, that scene. Maybe someone can put it on the site, Simply Scripts, and actually pull that down. Where she's holding the baby, because they're about to put the baby into the crystal thing, you know, to send it to Earth, to send Superman to Earth. And what happens is you hear his knowledge, her fear. His knowledge, her fear. His knowledge, her fear. And she says, he'll be alone. And he says, he will never be alone. That's my show for this month. You're never alone. We're all here for you. My sincerest hope for you is that you do some of the things I suggested with this show. I know the show was kind of all over the place, but I kind of enjoy speaking that way. Extemporaneous works for me. Look it up. I hope you all enjoyed the royal wedding. I did. I stayed up for it. I am a sap. Yes, I am. And I cried. Yes, I did. Did you love the trees in the church? I thought that was brilliant. It looked like a shot of heaven. It was really lovely. And by the way, just for the record, I was the first person to say, that's a Grace Kelly dress. And sure enough, an hour later, I heard someone say, that dress was so Grace Kelly. So once again, darlings, when it comes to the UK, I am your connection. I really am. This is Babs for Babs Buzz. I had a really great month, a really hard month. Not as hard as some of you. Thank God none of my problems were physical. I hope you're all doing healthy things for your bodies, eating right, drinking the right kinds of wine, meditating, praying, whatever you do to stay healthy. But I really want you to focus on writing, living your life, making every day count. So what does that mean? Well, whatever it means for you, just remember, I'm sure rewriting will be involved. Peace.